The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the clock ticking and ready to strike midnight in Dallas. The deadline is here. What are the Cowboys going to do? And they're not the only ones. Russell Wilson to Chicago, picking up steam. Shefty is here. He's got all the inside information. And has Bill decided his quarterback of the future is actually his quarterback from the past? Most important week of the year, and it starts right now on a Monday from the Seaport. I am Greeny, and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We have an enormous week ahead, and we have exactly the right people to talk about it. Take a look. We got Shefty is ready to go. Dan is ready to go. Neek and Mike T are here, and we have decided that Dan Orlovsky today is playing the role of my 10th grade history teacher. He looks exactly like the man who taught me all about the Revolutionary War. Okay, let's go. One day away from the franchise tag deadline, and that means the Cowboys will finally have to make the first of what we think will be a series of decisions on Dak Prescott's future. If a deal is not done by tomorrow, the Cowboys will have to apply the franchise tag to Prescott for the second consecutive season. And that is really when things would begin to get interesting. So, Shefty, you were the one who told us back in November this is going to be the big story of the offseason. Here we are, sort of at one of the first pressure points. Where do we stand right now with Dak in Dallas?
Well, it won't get interesting tomorrow, Greeny. It already is interesting because you're talking about having to tag Dak Prescott to the tune of $37.69 million, which is the largest tag in NFL history. In a year where the cap is going down, that creates a logjam with Dallas's cap situation. Now, Dallas would like to get a long-term deal worked out, and Dak would like to get a long-term deal worked out. So we'll see if the two sides can figure it out. It would help Dallas an awful lot, not that Dak cares about that, if they could get that deal done and figured out by the start of the new league year, March 17th, 4 p.m. Eastern. But the Cowboys will not let Dak walk out the door. They'll continue talking. They'll tag him tomorrow if no deal is done by then. But again, both sides continue to be hopeful that they'll be able to reach a deal that they've struggled to get for the last 2+ years.
Yes, I mean, we have had this conversation so many times. As we bring the group in here, and Mike T, as the general manager here, you were making the point that while tomorrow is the tag deadline, the start of the new league year is a really important deadline for the Cowboys. That's next week. Tell everybody, Mike T, why that is.
That's exactly right, Greeny. March 16th is the last day of this league year, and they have to be able to get a deal done because they have to lower the cap number. If they go into the 2021 league year with the cap number that Adam just talked about, that's roughly between 25 and 30% of the cap, and they're going to lose about a half a dozen free agents. They can't run a team when one player is going to take up that much of their cap. Plus, if you spin the story forward a year, he's going to leave. So it's a horrible use of salary cap allocation. That's why they must get a deal done before March 17th, lower the cap number, and try to keep as many of those players as possible.
This is why we have been saying repeatedly, they have negotiated themselves into such a corner that that is where they find themselves. So Dan Orlovsky, now what?
Yeah, first of all, I'm going to be fighting with Mike T all morning. Listen, I don't think the Cowboys are going to get a deal done between them and Dak. I do believe they're going to tag him. When they tag him, two things. They're going to stink this year because their salary cap, like everyone has pointed out, is going to be so chewed up by that number. And two, this will be Dak's last year in Dallas. He will no longer be the Cowboys quarterback moving forward after this season. And then the last thing that would stand out to me is next offseason would be pandemonium. I mean, we will watch teams. We've seen teams in the NFL kind of tank, or at least front offices tank, to acquire draft picks. I think we would see teams and front offices try and tank, so to speak, to create cap space, almost like sometimes we see in the NBA, like unload contracts for the bidding war of Dak Prescott next year, who's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. So I don't think they're going to get a deal done by tomorrow. And I think the question for me becomes, Do the Cowboys next year in 2022, do they want to be the organization that is cap hamstrung financially or the organization that is searching for their quarterback?
And so, Dominique, I would ask you, I guess, to sort of play the role of a representative for Dak, which, I think suits you. You've sort of been doing that on some level for 2 years here, and it's worked out fine. So Jerry says, look, we've got to get this deal done here between now and next Tuesday. What are you saying you want? What's it going to take to get it done? We know what the franchise tag number is for this year. We know what Patrick Mahomes at the very top of the market is. What's it going to take to get it done?
I mean, I'm not getting it done if I'm Dak. I'm going to go ahead and get that franchise tag. I like that you referenced that Dan looks like your high school history teacher, because that's what this is all about. It's about history. The only other time we've seen something like this happen was with Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins still holds the record for the highest guaranteed contract with that $84 million that he got coming out of Washington and going to Minnesota. So I think the history is what I would tell Dak to look at, because Dak's a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins was, and he can go into free agency and have his choice of franchise. Right now, he only has to deal with what the Cowboys give him. He can decide going forward, I'd have my agent. I know that you're not supposed to, but agents do this all the time. I have my agent right now working on figuring out my best situation and have them start preparing for me to land there in 2022, because it's clear that Dallas isn't going to do what it takes to keep him.
And so, Shefty, let me finish it with you here, and then we'll move on to a bunch of other things that we have. But for 2 years, we've been hearing, well, Jerry wants to get a deal done and Dak wants to get a deal done. What should make a person think that this will get done in the next 8 days if it has not gotten done in the last 2 years?
I think a slightly altered perspective from each side. You have the Dallas Cowboys, as we're talking about, up against it, needing to get a deal done to save their cap and save their roster. You have Dak Prescott going through circumstances last year where he suffered a career-ending injury, where he had to have surgery again, where, again, his football mortality flashed in front of his eyes. And so you'd like to think that between the way that he thinks and the way that the Cowboys think, that somehow they'll be able to come to a common ground that they've been unable to get to the last couple of years and get that deal done. Now, I'm not telling you it'll happen, Greeny. I'm just telling you that each side has a slightly different perspective heading into these talks that might give you some reason for optimism that didn't exist in previous years.
Real quick, final thought, Danny. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask Mike T, like, what would you rather have? If you're going to franchise tag him or pay him that second highest paid quarterback, we all know that they are going to be salary cap hamstrung moving forward. So which one would you rather have? Be salary cap hamstrung moving forward or being on the lookout for a quarterback? Like, I would love to know what situation you'd prefer in, because if you're looking for the quarterback, there's at least options. Salary cap hamstrung, your hands are completely tied.
What is the answer, Mike?
I'm getting a long-term deal done, and I'm going to pay him $160 million over 4 years, and now I have my 28-year-old quarterback under contract, and next year, players like Zeke Elliott I can move on from and create more cap room. So there is a deal to be done here, Dan. We'll get into it, but absolutely, I want Dak Prescott as my quarterback.
All right, Dan Orlovsky looks flabbergasted. He also looks like the editor of a blog called Barista. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, meanwhile, let's move this forward
coffee.
To Shefty. Let's get to other issues today. Let's run the hurry up. There were other franchise tag situations beginning in Tampa. Shefty, go.
Well, Tampa has an interesting decision to make here, Greeny. Do you tag Chris Godwin, the wide receiver that Tom Brady relies on, or do you tag the position that's so difficult to fill in the pass rusher in Shaq Barrett? Now, ideally, you'd sign one of these players to a long-term deal before the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline on Tuesday and then tag the other, but both these players are close to free agency. Both would like to test the market. We'll see how the defending world champions handle that situation. And it's hard to imagine that the Chicago Bears would allow Allen Robinson to get out the door, even though these two sides haven't spoken in months about a long-term deal. The Bears don't want to lose their best player on offense. He would like to become a free agent. He would like to see what's out there. Again, I would imagine it results in the tag of Allen Robinson, which would restrict his movement in the free agent signing period. And then the other free agent wide receiver in that division is the Detroit Lions, Kenny Golladay. Now, keep in mind, last year, these two sides had discussions about a long-term extension, and Kenny Golladay turned down somewhere around $18, $19 million a year, depending on who you want to believe. And I think there's a chance here with a new regime in Detroit that they could opt not to tag him at all, which would allow him to become one of the most coveted free agents out there. We'll see whether the Lions do decide to use that tag by the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline on Tuesday. I think there's a chance they won't. A chance they won't, Greeny.
That's interesting. He'd be someone that a lot of teams would like. There are also a lot of good receivers in the draft this year. So we will see where that all plays out. And then there's the Russell Wilson situation, Shefty, which just continues to, for lack of a better word, not go away. What is the latest right now on Wilson, the Seahawks, and I guess anybody else?
Well, what's interesting about this one is this, that in Houston, we've heard the Texans say, we're not trading Deshaun Watson. And whether they do or don't, we'll see how that unfolds as time goes on. But we have not heard the Seahawks say, we are not trading Russell Wilson. Have you heard anybody from that organization say that? I haven't. Now, maybe they'll come out today and say that, and that would end the speculation. So as long as that is out there and until they say something to that effect, I think the idea that Russell Wilson could be traded is real. What gives me pause is this. In a year where the cap is down, again, we turn to that phrase, the Seahawks would have to count Russell Wilson $39 million against their cap. We already saw the Eagles take the largest dead cap hit in NFL history of about $33 million for Carson Wentz. The dead cap hit for Russell Wilson would be $39 million. Are the Seahawks willing to take that kind of hit to get rid of a player that's that good? But again, you don't hear them say, we are not trading Russell Wilson. Maybe they'll say that soon, but we haven't heard it.
Yeah, that would be a huge cap hit. And again, I can tell you right now, every friend I have who's a Bears fan is convinced he's coming to Chicago. I'm just putting that out there. This is not information. This is just fans who are hoping for it. So, Dominique, we were having an interesting conversation before the show. If fans are asking themselves, why would Russell Wilson feel like he wants to get out? Why would it be this significant to him? You have what I think is a really interesting theory.
Yeah, I mean, before I get to that, first of all, Dan said he likes coffee. Dan likes milk with a little bit of coffee in it. Just to be clear, if anyone knows the way that he puts out his coffee, it's just pretty much...
It should taste good.
It's hot milk. It's gross. Anyway, back to the point. Back to the point. I think that Russell Wilson's decision and the reason why he's behaving the way he's behaving that is abnormal for him right now is in part because the league changed on him, and he was the guy. He was the next in line to be the face of the league, to take over this league after Tom Brady and after Phillip Rivers and those guys and Ben Roethlisberger started to age out. It was supposed to be Russell. He was supposed to be the guy. And then he looks up and he sees Patrick Mahomes. We skipped right over Russell, and Russell is looking at Patrick and saying, man, you got great weapons, and you got a coach that does not believe the key to winning is running the ball and playing defense. A coach that believes the key to winning is letting your quarterback cook. So I think part of this is Russell's looking up and looking and thinking, if I had a coach like that, and I had a scheme like that, people would be talking about me the way they talk about Patrick Mahomes. And I think he's a little bit jealous, which I think it's fair to feel that way. He was on track to be the next guy face of the league, and we all just decided to skip right over him and go to Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's part of what's motivating the way he's behaving right now.
I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it. And it isn't just Mahomes. It went from that group, the older group, the Brady Rodgers group, to this new group, which is led by Mahomes, but has Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson and all these other dynamic young quarterbacks. And you're right, Russell sort of gets passed over in that. Dan Orlovsky, what do you make of this whole thing?
Yeah, I think the silence from Russell Wilson is deafening. And it reminds me a lot of the Carson Wentz situation in Philadelphia in regards to the lack of response from the player. You know, when Carson stayed quiet with the head coach firing and the new head coach hiring, it was obvious that he wanted out. Russell Wilson, again, we live in a time where it's the easiest ever to make a statement, to dispute a report. He could have some point over the last month or so came out and said, hey, the stuff that you're hearing isn't true. I want to be in Seattle. We've heard nothing like that. We've only seen him throw some gas on the fire. Don't like the offensive line. Don't like the setup of the team. Dispute with the head coach. Oh, I want to go to these teams. And so his silence of not disputing some of these claims speaks volumes to me. And I also think that, you know, the Tom Brady point is a great one by Dom. And I'd throw Aaron Rodgers in there as well, because we all talk about Aaron being one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. Certainly one of the most talented. But there's that giant but attached to his name. But he only won one Super Bowl. How has he only won one Super Bowl? And I think Russell Wilson's looking at it going, I don't want that same conversation with me. I don't want to be one of the best we've ever seen, but to have that asterisk of, why did Russell Wilson only win one Super Bowl?
Yeah,
that was phenomenal. I just love how you led with that crazy statement of comparing Wentz to Russell. That was amazing because it got my attention. I was like, no, how dare he put them in the same sentence? And then you explained it. It made perfect sense by then. Magnificent. You even tripped up your internet at that point. You notice when you said Russell and Wentz at the same time, your internet took a pause, little hiccup. We froze for a second.
It's my barista skills.
Yes. It is now being brought to my attention, Dan, that maybe what you actually look like is though you're getting ready to play the young Jeff Goldblum in the origin story of The Fly. That is another thing that is being suggested to me. Now they're just flying in.
Okay, don't know that movie. And in relation to the coffee, if you drink your coffee black, you hate your tongue. Okay, plain and simple.
It's about efficiency. Efficiency. I want caffeine. I don't want milk. If I wanted milk, I drink milk. I'm drinking it straight black because that's what I'm here for, the caffeine, not the dairy.
Right, let me go back to the quarterback stuff here, if I may, for a minute, because there's another one you may have heard of who was in the news, and his name is Brady. A month after winning his 7th Super Bowl, Tom Brady is now working out an extension with the Buccaneers. He signed a 2-year, $50 million contract last offseason. He will play this coming season at the age of 44. We've been sitting around here thinking, what would give anyone the impression he's all that close to being done? And so, Shefty, where do we stand right now? Right at this moment, he has 1 year left on his deal. What is going on?
Well, I was told over the weekend that there's momentum, good momentum, for Tom Brady to get a extension done with the Buccaneers that would tie him to Tampa for an even longer period of time. So even though he's got 1 year left in his deal, clearly he likes it in Tampa. We know he loves playing football. As he once said, he dreams about throwing the football, and it looks like those dreams are going to continue for a while longer. And at this point in time, it looks like him in Tampa will be able to work out an extension that will give the Bucs some added cap relief and allow them to continue to build the type of roster that Tom Brady wants that would help them, in his eyes, try to repeat and defend their Super Bowl championship. But they've been talking about an extension. Again, it's typical extension this time of the year where he's trying to help the team, but it will not be a surprise if that gets done. As it was told, momentum is good there.
And if Mike Tannenbaum's blood just went cold, it is because he has heard this story before. Go ahead, Mike T.
Yeah, 20 years of scar tissue, and boy, do I feel bad for the GM of the Saints and Panthers and everybody else in that division from this standpoint. Now everybody else in Tampa Bay has to take less money because if Tom Brady, who had just had a great year, is taking less, everybody else, Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, you're going to take less. So now it becomes even a more force multiplier that Tampa Bay is going to be good for a long time. Players want to play with Tom, and now they have to pay for less. And now, after 20 years, I had to deal with that at the Jets, the Dolphins, and now I'm telling you, the Panthers, the Saints, they're all saying the same thing. They got a great player who's paying for less. It's really hard to compete with that.
Yeah, they say the best thing to have is a quarterback on a rookie contract, even better. The greatest quarterback of all time getting paid like he's on a rookie contract. All right, everybody stay with me. Tons more football to come. But up next, I got to get you to the action last night. Let's run the floor. NBA All-Star Sunday began with the skills challenge. Dallas star Luka Doncic, Phoenix's Chris Paul would lose in the semifinals to the Pacers' Domantas Sabonis and the Magic's Nikola Vucevic. And in the end, it was Sabonis that would sink a three to beat Vucevic and win the challenge. So Domantas Sabonis winds up being the winner of the skills challenge last night. Good for him. On we go to the three-point contest. Steph Curry competing for the 7th time. Last time he won it was 2015. He made it to the finals after 31 points in the first round. In the finals, taking on Mike Conley. Conley would score 27. Steph on that bucket would make it 28 and the win. Steph Curry becomes the 7th player to win multiple three-point contests. Excuse me. The dunk contest would take place at halftime of the All-Star game. That is Obi Toppin taking on Portland's Anfernee Simons. It would be Simons who would win because of a new judge's choice rule. He won a vote of 3-2 over Toppin, so he was this year's slam dunk champion. And then finally, to the action. The game of the night last night, the All-Star game in Atlanta. Team LeBron, Team Durant. Here we go. LeBron playing with Steph Curry for the first time as teammates. And LeBron wouldn't play much early in the first quarter. Here we go. LeBron, oh, why not do that? Throwing it down hard. He would play just 13 minutes, but his team wouldn't need him much. Here's LeBron. Here's Steph Curry. How about range? Steph Curry, bam. Team LeBron wins the first quarter, 40-39. Second quarter, Team LeBron is up by 10. Giannis, breaking away. Giannis throwing it down. Giannis was 16 of 16 from the floor in this game. Still in the second, Dame Lillard says, "You got range? I got range." That's a good shot for him from 48 feet. Lillard showing it off later. Team LeBron letting it fly. It's Steph Curry from just inside half court. Team LeBron wins the second quarter big. They had 100 points at halftime. Middle of the third. Team Durant is up 25-20 in that quarter. But Giannis, well, he just couldn't miss. Literally. Even when he throws it off glass. Giannis again named MVP, 16 of 16 for 35 points. Fourth quarter, first to 170 would be the winner. And there's Damian Lillard shutting down the occasion. Dame time knocks it down. Team LeBron gets the win, 170 to 150. And again, the Greek Freak is the MVP. All right, we're just getting rolling on this Monday. Coming up, has Bill decided his quarterback of the future is actually his quarterback from the past? The carousel keeps turning on a wild NFL day. Plus, Odell's future in Cleveland. His coach addressed it, but it's what he didn't say that has all of us thinking trade. That's on the way. We're just getting rolling. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, let's take a look at a lie candy here. And this is Matthew Barzal with one of the great goals you will ever see. Orlovsky, could you do this?
No! Greedy, I had a friend send this to me this weekend. This is filthy right there. That's filth. He looks, you know what that looks like? That's a little Gordon Bombay, Mighty Ducks. Between the legs, through the back, that's filth.
That's a goal of the year candidate for sure. Outstanding. All right, we're rolling along here. Get up as we continue. Odell's future in Cleveland. His coach talked about it, but it's what he didn't say that has us wondering. You'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and let's talk quarterback. So much has been made about the potential of a reunion between Jimmy G and Bill B in New England. The 49er quarterback is under contract for 2 more seasons. But New England needs a quarterback, and they may look to trade for Garoppolo. That is according to a very interesting piece that our Mike Reese put together over the weekend, who covers the Patriots for so well, and he gets up with us early today. Mike, for those who did not read it, give us a sense of your thinking on the possibilities here of Jimmy G coming back to Foxborough.
So good morning, Greeny. I would say, you know, as a reporter covering the team, there's so much secrecy around the Patriots quarterback plan. So I was asking myself the question, what do I know for fact? And for fact, what I know is that the Patriots' Bill Belichick, he holds Jimmy Garoppolo in such high regard. And it's one thing for me to say it, but I could actually show it to you. I mean, there was a picture after the 49ers handed the Patriots their worst home loss in two decades under Bill Belichick, where Bill Belichick stayed on the field to talk with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, was standing nearby for his turn to talk to Jimmy Garoppolo. So the point is this, Greeny. If the Patriots believe Jimmy Garoppolo is their plan A and there's a big gap to plan B, now is the time for them to at least test the 49ers' commitment to Jimmy G.
And so then that begets the obvious next question, which is if they do decide, to your point, that that's what they want to do, how do they get it done?
Well, I got to give credit to Michael Lombardi, the longtime NFL front office man who was here with the Patriots when the Patriots drafted Garoppolo in 2014. On his podcast, The GM Shuffle, he said, how about Sam Darnold going from the Jets to the 49ers, who in turn would then trade Jimmy Garoppolo in a situation controlled by Garoppolo because he has a no-trade clause. And you saw the respect that was mutual between the Patriots and Garoppolo. Well, you'd think Jimmy might like the idea of a homecoming in that scenario, Greeny, that could work for everyone. The 49ers would pick up a lot of cap space in that exchange. The Patriots would get their quarterback, who they respect so much, and the Jets, your Jets, would probably take a quarterback at number two, which might be their preference anyway.
Yeah, it's a very interesting way of looking at it. It certainly all feels plausible and possible. How likely it is remains to be seen, but it'll play out, we would think, in the next week or two. Mike Reese, outstanding. Again, you can read all of that, the piece that he put up there yesterday. Let me bring my crew back in here. And Dan Orlovsky, what'd you think of that? Let's start with just the quarterback, specifically the quarterback piece of this, which is to say that this would result in Darnold in San Francisco and Garoppolo in New England. Just looking at it from the standpoint of those players, Dan Orlovsky, how do you like it?
I think San Francisco would be ecstatic if they can get Sam Darnold for a worthy cost, right? I think Kyle Shanahan would absolutely love Sam Darnold, and I think Sam Darnold would thrive in San Francisco, knowing the way that Kyle coaches quarterbacks, develops quarterbacks, and then kind of allows them to play to their highest level. We would see the Sam Darnold that was that third pick overall in the draft play really, really, really well, and it would quiet a lot of the conversation around him. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo to New England makes a ton of sense, only if Josh McDaniels liked the or wants to go back to the traditional thought process or style of football that they played with. It only makes sense if he did not like his experience last year with the dual threat quarterback of Cam Newton. You know, that's for me, Greeny, that's where this conversation starts. Did Josh McDaniels like the quarterback kind of quarterback run and dual threat quarterback? If that's the case, Jimmy's not going back. If he didn't like it, if he didn't feel comfortable, if he feels like it held him back as a coach, yeah, then Jimmy Garoppolo makes a ton of sense to New England. But for me, it would say that San Francisco loves Sam Darnold and wants to upgrade at the talent of the quarterback position.
What do you think, Nate?
So Sam Darnold needs to be making these calls himself. Any way to get him out there to San Francisco, like he needs to be wheeling and dealing and trying to figure out how he can make this happen. I think everything that Dan said was right on point, with exception of the Cam Newton point. Is I don't understand, I can't imagine that Josh McDaniels believes that the Cam Newton that they got last year is like an accurate version of what an offense would be like with a healthy, younger, fresher dual threat quarterback. I think Josh McDaniels recognizes the pattern of the NFL, the direction that it's going, and best case scenario, he wants a flexible guy that can be dual threat, that can threaten the defense in multiple different ways, but he wants one who's a little healthier and one who hasn't had as many surgeries. I don't think that they necessarily want to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo unless they're going to do this kind of quarterback cycling strategy that we've all kind of hoped some team would try at some point. Maybe this is the team that's going to be willing to try it, who's going to be willing to go out there and just kind of bring in a new quarterback every year. I guess the Colts are kind of the only team that have started to try to do something like that. I could see that happening with Jimmy G, but I can't imagine that the Patriots want to sign up for a long-term commitment to Jimmy Garoppolo, who's an old-fashioned quarterback who isn't nearly as talented as the other guys out there.
Go ahead, Dan. Quick for my final thought.
Yeah, I just think, like, Josh McDaniels has a decade worth of empirical data that, oh, our offense was really good doing it this way. This is the way we built our organization and had a ton of success. And Jimmy Garoppolo fits that style. The ball out of his hands, distributing the football. We use a little bit of the play action pass. I don't think that we could sit here and say adamantly, like, just because it's the way the NFL going, the Patriots right. always have always zigged when the NFL zags. And so I do believe that his input on his experience last year determines which way the Patriots are going to go.
Here's the one thing I'll quick say in sort of wrapping this up. Since Jimmy Garoppolo got to San Francisco, he's only played in six or more games in one season that he's been there. That's been a problem. Now, in that one season, they made it to the Super Bowl. So you could sort of argue that in either direction you want. Mike Reese, again, thank you very much for the insight today. It's always wonderful to have you. Let me move on to my next stop, and that's Cleveland, where Browns wide receivers Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry are scheduled to have the two biggest cap hits for that team next year, over $30 million. Combined, the head coach Kevin Stefanski had this to say regarding the possibility that Cleveland will keep both players.
I think you go with what you have and you make sure that you're putting yourself in position to field a competitive roster for a bunch of years moving forward. So, yeah, I think we're in a good spot. You know, the easy part to say is, hey, just give us more players. We want, you know, give us three more great players on the offensive side and give us, you know, three players on the defensive side. And we're going to spend this amount on each guy. I think we have a plan. We'll follow through with that plan.
All right. There he was on KJZ, and I mean, I guess that falls under the category of what do you expect him to say. So, Shefty, then let me come to you on that situation. A lot of people looking, listening to those quotes and figuring out particularly the Odell of it all. What should be the expectation here?
Well, the advantage that this team has, Greeny, is that they have Baker Mayfield on a rookie contract. And when you have a quarterback yeah. on a rookie contract, you can do a lot of things that other teams can't. So you can pay two wide receivers if that's what you want to do. $30 million. And Odell Beckham Jr. is due about $14 million plus dollars this year, which is a friendly enough number. He's got $1 million roster bonus due on the first day of training camp. And so they're in a position where they have flexibility thanks to the quarterback contract. And they can keep Beckham, and they can keep Landry, and they can continue to supplement the rest of the roster, which they're about $25 million under the cap. So they have the room that they need right now to be able to do what they want.
Mike T, when you hear Kevin Stefanski talk, what do you think he's really saying?
Oh, there's an off-season dialect that I spoke for a long time. He is saying we are open for business. Did you see what we did last year? We won with Rashard Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, a six-round pick. We won with Jarvis Landry. Someone wants to come. We could save $15,750,000 off our cap this year, pick up a third-round pick. Give us a call. We are open for business. He did not say that Odell Beckham is going to be on the team this year. He wants to move him. That was very apparent. He is in off-season mode.
Well, yeah, I think that's going to be one to keep a close eye on. And Danny, I know you put together some tape because this is a fascinating story.
Yeah, Greeny, the reality is that Baker Mayfield's better without Odell Beckham on the field. Now, both things can be true. He's a great player. But Baker plays with more clarity. Just go back to last year when Odell unfortunately got hurt against Cincinnati. It's a perfect example. Z curl, ball guy over the ball, curl up top, wide receiver, back on a flare. It's a cover three beater. It's the perfect defense. Odell at the bottom of the screen's got a go route. It's an alert. But that quarter's so far off, you're not going to throw this ball down there, especially when he's bailing. Now, did Baker, for some reason, just decide to throw this ball to Odell? Look up top. The curl is wide open because it's designed to beat that coverage. Ends up being an interception. Now, a couple quarters later, they're going to line up in the exact same formation, run the same play over the ball, hook up top, back on the free release. Cincinnati's in cover three again. The only difference in this play, Odell's not on the field because he's injured. Now, watch the difference in Baker Mayfield. Over the ball, not there. Go to the curl outside. Flat defender widens. Throw it exactly where you're supposed to. This is the same look as the previous play. The difference is that he decided to throw the ball to Odell because it's Odell. The simplest way I can put it is this. When a quarterback is in the huddle, he gets the call. He should then think of the play. What's it look like? What's it designed to do? How do we want to attack the defense? And then he should think of players. Where's my matchup? Who's a guy that I might be leaning towards with what the defense gives me? When Odell is on the field, it looks like Baker gets the call, thinks the player. Where's Odell Beckham? Maybe I'll throw it to him. And then goes to the play. It's reversed. And he plays with more clarity when he just gets call, play, players.
It's a really good way of looking at it. And I like that you preface it by saying this is not a knock necessarily on anybody, but it is just a realistic look.
Right.
Super quickly, Shefty, if Chris Godwin winds up leaving Tampa, a lot of people keep sending me notes reminding me of there's a good relationship between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham. Now, there are a lot of things that have to happen between now and then. Godwin could get franchised. All this stuff could happen. But if Godwin leaves, should we be looking at Tampa as a possible spot for Odell?
Greeny, we could bring up a lot of options here. The fact of the matter is, in a way, to me, a lot of this is fantasy football. The cap is going down. It's going to be about $181 million. Teams are going to have to make hard financial decisions. And while Tampa Bay and Tom Brady might want Odell Beckham Jr. there, can they fit in his contract? Can they make that work? And I guess you could always try to make do with whatever you want, but I think it's challenging to fit a wide receiver in at that number on top of everything else they're trying to get done there.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. It's fantasy football, and it's fun to think about one way or the other. We'll take a short break. As we continue, we'll tell you which NFL team has the biggest decision to make on draft day and how that could completely shake up the entire night. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. It is one of my favorite times of the week. Dominique Foxworth will have to answer a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, whether he wants to or not. And we begin with your guy, Dak Prescott. Shefty already told us the overwhelming likelihood is the Cowboys will place the franchise tag on him sometime between now and tomorrow afternoon. So assuming they do that, the question is, will Dak be a Cowboy in 2022?
Oh, that's the easiest answer to the question you've ever given me. Of course not. If they franchise him, what motivation does he have to come back? He will then have a bunch of teams who are willing to offer him the contract that he wants, and he can pick a team that he feels is more suited for a championship run than I think the Cowboys would be. There's really no motivation for him to come back, short of maybe he wants to go into the booth after he retires. Like, that's the only selling point that the Cowboys then have, is you have a great career in broadcasting, and nothing about Dak Prescott's participation with the media suggests that he wants to do that. He wants to win championships and make a lot of money playing football, and he can do that in a bunch of other places outside of Dallas.
If he makes $150 million playing football, yeah, he can pick and choose his next career however he wants. All right, next question.
Selling, man.
Where will Deshaun Watson play this season? Neek.
I mean, this is the most interesting thing of the offseason. I'm enjoying it so far. When they get to training camp, we'll see what Deshaun Watson decides to do if he continues to hold out. But I think he's going to end up in Miami. That's the place to be. And I don't know if you watched the Meghan Markle Oprah interview last night, but while I was watching it, they said that Harry and Meghan went and lived in a house with Madea out in California. So I'm suggesting that maybe Deshaun Watson should do the same thing. If he's not going to play, he's going to quit. He's got to drop all of this nonsense and just go move to L.A. for a weekend and hide out like Meghan and Harry.
Seems like a reasonable thing. I did actually see some of that last night. We'll break that down a little in our second hour. Lastly, the Eagles have the number 6 pick in this draft. Do they need to take a quarterback?
I don't think they should. I understand, and this is not a vote of confidence in Jalen Hurts necessarily. He played better last year than I anticipated, And I'm not saying that he's the quarterback of the future, but I think it's time to rebuild this roster. And you miss so often with those first round picks, even when you think that you hit, which the Eagles learned with Carson Wentz. So I think that they should try to rebuild this roster, maybe trade back if they're given the opportunity, but try to rebuild this offensive line and defensive line, because that's how they succeeded in the past. That's how they won with two different quarterbacks, honestly, in Philadelphia. It wasn't with hitting on Carson Wentz as much as it was with having a great supporting cast around him on offense and defense and taking the pressure off of him. So I think that's the move that the Eagles should do right now.
And they're a team that you can expect to see shedding a lot of salary this week as well. Dominique Foxworth answering the question. Excellent. Meanwhile, time now for required reading. And this comes from our friend Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for us at ESPN. And he wrote this. The Zach Wilson hype train is speeding toward the draft, and the biggest beneficiary is the Jets. Wilson's soaring popularity has increased the value of the number two overall pick, and the Jets have done their part by maintaining a poker face. General manager Joe Douglas could have a winning lottery ticket on his hand. And I will preface our conversation here by saying that Dan Orlovsky and Mike Tannenbaum have been going back and forth about this in our email chain. And so I look forward to hearing the actual conversation. So Dan, as you look at it, the Jets, this is the decision they have to make. And the compensation they could get for that number two pick is a big factor in how they make this decision. So, Dan, what should they do?
Greeny, I think that they should trade that pick and keep Sam Darnold right now. Here's the question the Jets have to ask themselves, and Joe Douglas has to ask himself. What is more likelier, that you draft Zach Wilson with the number two pick and he becomes Patrick Mahomes, or you keep Sam Darnold, you trade that pick to somebody like Carolina, they move up, they give you their first rounder this year, they give you a first rounder next year, and all of a sudden you got five first round picks in the next 2 years. And you hit on most of those picks, and all of a sudden you become good. Like, it's, look at the last 15 years of taking quarterbacks in the top five overall. I think like four of the quarterbacks have become good players. Cam Newton, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, and Andrew Luck. Everyone else has become a disappointment, or they're a TBD. And I know everyone continues to say, and I know Mike T's like, well, you gotta take Zach Wilson. Dude, you stink as an organization. You're not good. Just because you get a good quarterback doesn't mean you're going to become a good organization. Good quarterbacks can't become really good quarterbacks if the rest of the roster is bad. And I'm looking at it like, if you are confident as a general manager and Joe Douglas believes that he's a good general manager, give me the picks. Give me the picks. I want to build a good football team and then go get my quarterback, because I'll never know if Zach Wilson's good. We're not going to be good enough to figure that out.
What do you think, Mike T?
Totally different. Zach Wilson is going to be a great quarterback. And I want to bring into this conversation, I've had the great fortune of working for really good defensive head coaches, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, and 100% of the time, they acquire offensive players they struggle defending. Sean McDermott has already answered the question for us, Dan. He drafted Josh Allen, a big mobile quarterback who he has presumably struggled defending in his career. So if I'm Sean McDermott and I have to face the Jets, do I hope the Jets have Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson? Clearly, by what he's done, he would struggle defending Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's upside is much greater. I agree with your point that Sam Darnold hasn't had a lot to work with, but with multiple first-round picks this year and next year, get the quarterback that gives you a chance to be great. Somebody that could compete with Josh Allen. I don't think Sam Darnold's ceiling will ever get there.
Go ahead, Dan.
And here's my dispute with Josh Allen. The Bills were a playoff team. That's why it made sense to go get Josh Allen, because the team was built to support the development of the quarterback. That quarterback that we all thought were really good was given the opportunity to become really good because the team was built that way. I'll go back to this. Name me the last organization in the NFL with the top five pick at quarterback that organization flipped from being a bad team and a bad organization to becoming a good team and a good organization. Name me the last one. Cam Newton was the only one that we thought like was trending that way. Baker Mayfield maybe is becoming that. It's just impossible to do.
Go ahead, Mike.
Dan, we did it. We did that in 2009. We drafted Mark Sanchez with the fifth pick, and he led us to four road playoff wins and two AFC championship games. So we did it. And the other thing I would say is Josh Allen helped Buffalo get to the playoffs. They were not a playoff team without him. And we're not even talking about the economics here, which is Zach Wilson would be roughly about $36 million over 4 years. With Sam Darnold, are we ready to guarantee fully $20 to $25 million next year on his fifth-year option? So when we bring in the economics and we bring in the impact of what Josh Allen's done, I think Zach Wilson's ceiling is much higher than Sam Darnold's.
The reason this is so important...
Weren't you guys
Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead, Greeny.
Well, I was just going to say, reason this is so important to everyone, regardless of what team you root for, is that this is the entire top of the draft. We all know what's happening, number one, in this draft. It's Trevor Lawrence is going number one to Jacksonville. This is where it happens. The Jets will make the decision either to take Zach Wilson or trade the pick. Dan, go ahead. Final thought.
Yeah, I mean, in 2008, Mike T, you guys were like 8-8. You guys weren't a terrible football team. So, Mark stepped into a situation that wasn't brutal. The reason why this is a brutally difficult decision for Joe Douglas, because if you take Zach Wilson and he becomes okay, and you trade Sam Darnold and he becomes Ryan Tannehill, you're fired. And if you keep Sam Darnold and don't take Zach Wilson and he becomes Patrick Mahomes, you're fired. So that's why, I don't envy this decision, but I'm just sitting here saying, we've got to stop thinking that you just get the quarterback and it fixes everything.
We will leave it there. We have much more to go. As you can see, we are fired up starting this week. Coming up, the clock ticking, ready to strike midnight in Dallas. The deadline is here. What are you going to do? We've got the answers. Get up on ESPN.